Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fine episode of Devil in the Details. With me today is RTM, Frag, Trish,
hi,
and we've got Monty with us as well. How's everybody doing today?
Terrible.
Oh, I know that feeling. I've had the worst week ever.
Really? Because I've lost a 60, a 52, a 35. How about you?
Okay. Technically, it wasn't the worst week ever. It was probably one of the best weeks ever. And this is completely unrelated to video games or Diablo or anything. I had a great date earlier this week, only I came back with it. I had new shoes. We went walking for like down this huge trail, and I came back with my feet were tore up. I had sunburns everywhere. I've just been like the last 3 days just either sitting, doing nothing, just trying to play Diablo without moving my arms, or laying in bed all the time. So it's just been physically miserable, but other than that, everything's going well. And Diablo's going pretty well for me, too, so I can't complain, I guess.
Well, I'm doing good, except I don't have a story like that. But
well, I mean, we've had a lot of stuff happen this week. Just in Diablo news, 1.03 hit, and that's sort of blown up a lot of stuff. How does everybody else feel about that, just in general? We've got almost a week under our belts with the new changes. What are everybody's thoughts, opinions, stances on how things are right now?
I'm actually pretty happy with most of the changes. She's still not really making progress in Act 2, but that's because I'm not spending money on the auction house. And I'm just having fun farming anyway. It kind of feels like it's back in beta where I'm just making the same loops. So I'm like, I enjoyed it then, I can enjoy it now, no big deal. The only issue I have with the patch, out of all the other things, is that when they claim to fix or at least reduce the rubber banding, it has increased it just exponentially on my end. It's generally between about every 30 seconds to full minute where I get rubber banding. That usually is at one of the worst times possible.
I'd like to jump in about that. I have not really experienced too many issues with rubber banding before. It's happened on occasion, specifically on high movement abilities, but it's never really done anything to impact my play in hardcore. This week I lost my level 60 witch doctor, who was doing absolutely fine. Her gearing was coming along beautifully. Everything was going well. I'd transitioned into Inferno and was working my way down towards the Skeleton King, and my game froze up for 9 seconds solid. It just hung there, sitting while I was down to just the rare plus one add on a pack. And when I came back, I was dead.
Yeah.
And that is the first time that's ever happened. Anything even remotely close to that has happened. So, not particularly happy about that, but
I have the sort of weird rubber banding and desyncing that we were talking about before with a lot of the monk's high mobility spells. And I haven't really noticed a lot of that rubber banding or desyncing just in normal movement until today. I was playing earlier, and it was like every 25 or 30 seconds, it would be like a 4 or 5 frame skip, and it would just drop me back. And I've never seen anything like that before. I was like, okay, maybe it's just because it's Saturday and the servers are pounded, but if that's something that other people are noticing and talking about, that's news to me, because that is some serious issues. Like you said, Frag, you lost a character, which that's unfortunate and brutal.
Yeah. See, that's why I had to stop playing hardcore lately, because the rubber banding was so ridiculous. You have no idea how many times I have yelled at the screen, I told you to click that healing well, bitch! And nothing happened, and she's dead on the floor.
Yeah, I don't blame you for wanting to just farm. I mean, it's really something else once you get a decent build and be able to run Act 1 Inferno Butcher runs. It's like a freaking loop pinata, just like a slot machine going off every 20, 25 minutes. I mean, it's really unreal how much loot can drop off of it. So,
Oh, she was able to farm Act 1 just fine before the patch. And Act 2 did make it, after the patch, Act 2 did make it feel more like it was possible for her to progress. And I have actually killed some things and made some progression in Act 2, but it's just not, it's more frustrating than fun. So I'll just go back and play in Act 1 and feel overpowered and watch all the little shinies drop.
What's your stats roughly?
Oh, hell if I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I never keep track.
Could I jump in here?
Oh, of course.
Because I think you brought up a really good point that I wanted to discuss. I got my Witch Doctor to 60, finished off Diablo, moved into Hell, or into Inferno, and just started clearing. The first, like, three or four Nephilim Valor stacks were a little hairy, and then I got my new build that I was working on. I changed a couple things up. Going pretty well, and started going through the packs and getting some pretty good drops. And the second time I went back to town, I just finished up the crown, finished out clearing all three crypts just for the loot. And I made it back to town. I did my rares. There were a couple level 61s in there, no big deal. There was a level 62 that had, you know, no sockets on the helm, so whatever. And I'm just clicking through, selling stuff to the vendor, and I see level 63. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, looked up. 834 DPS one-hander? What? Look down. 109 intelligence. I spent Witch Doctor. 136 strength. I'm like, I'm not even to the Skeleton King yet. The Hover Over, plus 17,900 and some DPS. I'm like, this is insane! How can this happen? How can they possibly have thought that level 63 gear dropping in Act 1 was a good idea? I went from a fairly reasonable 11k damage. I didn't think that was bad at all. To 29k. I was feeling that Inferno was like, hey, I can make some progress if I play well, to I'm two-shotting things.
It's a decent chance, too. It's a 2% chance for yeah. Item level 63.
And it was just Inferno. A blue. You know, Inferno Proud modifier of poison damage was. It wasn't like anything amazingly well rolled. It was just absolutely unbelievable.
Considering how easy Act 1 is.
Yeah.
It's going to make the game much easier. So regarding the item levels, I found once I started playing with my Monk and Barbarian, I actually was able to just buy so much better gear. And I quickly got my Monk up to around 70 hit points. And my barb over 50 with a good resist 5 to 600. And I was able to just swing right into Act 3 and 4, Inferno. And I didn't have too hard of a time. I mean, it's really just a stark difference coming from the previous patch where I just had no chance at all. I mean, I've only fully cleared Act 2. I was only able to get to Act 3 and 4 using a kind of exploit. Pretty easy one, but it was fun to kind of try it out, get in a few zones, and of course, in previous patches, I died. But as soon as the auction house, everyone started to play with this new patch and started to get these item levels, 63 items. I mean, it was day and night. The items just went from 100,000 gold to 5 and 10,000 on the soft core. So it's really made everything so much easier, and I think if I continue playing my soft core characters, I would really be able to possibly be Inferno very soon on softcore. I mean, since then I switched to hardcore, but I know Chesspiece, you've been playing a little bit, so what are your thoughts so far on the Inferno?
Well, I mean, I've got sort of mixed feelings about the whole thing. And the first thing that I sort of feel is that across the board, it feels much more balanced in the way that damage is coming out. So for a lot of the just general minute-to-minute fights you're getting into, they feel like you can control them and you can manage them. Whereas before, it was like, okay, even these, you know, white mobs, the trash mobs, have me on my heels running. Yeah.
Way too much spike damage.
Yeah, I don't think that it's really getting to the core of some of the issues, though. I think this is a good first step. I think that there's still some... Once we're talking about getting into Act 3 and beyond, there's still some really key points when you're talking about champion modifications and the combinations of these modifications where, and Trish was talking about this earlier, where it just becomes frustrating, where it just becomes you're dead and there's nothing you can do about it. That stuff is still there, and I'm hoping that in the next few patches, they're going to start, I guess, hammering down on some of that and bringing some of them in line. I hope that with 1.1, with the changes to the character skills and all of that stuff, that will help balance it out, but I'm not sure. I don't know. There's still some issues there, and I think it revolves completely around that key point of just frustration.
Yeah, I mean, it really has to be a delicate balance, though, because I don't think, you know, with these new item levels, and these items are insane. I mean, you're just able to increase your DPS by so much and all your armor. So I think those champion packs are still going to be much easier. And over time, as softcore gets saturated, I'm not quite sure yet, and I've kind of stopped playing hardcore, softcore. So that's why I was curious. I mean, did you really focus on your monk more, or... like, did you buy a lot of gear? How far did you get in Inferno program?
Oh, with my monk right now, I am about halfway through Act 3, I think. And there was a very big change after the patch. I was able to go from just getting crushed left and right in Act 2 to being able to go through all of Act 2 and into Act 3 now. Once I get into Act 3, I still have the same problem where I'll go up against a champion pack. And the champion pack in and of itself isn't a problem, but then it's like, it has Arcane Enchanted Waller, and they spam like two or three walls on me. I can't move, and then the Arcane Sentry is right on top of me, and it still kills me in one hit. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm a monk, so I can't shift through those arcane walls if they're on top of me. I just take the hit and I die. So
what do you know your stats roughly?
I'm thinking I'm sitting at about 45,000 health now.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm, and that's one of the issues, is that I've got a serious two-handed build that goes heavily into dodge, and there's just certain combos that there's nothing I can do about. So it's that frustration that Trish was talking about, where it's like, I see this pack. The Arcane Sentry in and of itself just does so much damage that if one lands on top of me, there's not much I can do. I don't know.
Yeah, those have been a source of frustration for me. But I did find I actually ran into two champ packs at once. Well, one was a pack of champion imps in Act 1, and they were right next to a rare skeleton, I think it was. But the skeleton was Vortex Illusionist Frozen Plagued, which, you know, wasn't too big of a deal. The little imps were Vortex Arcane Vampiric and Fast. And the second that I would get out of the plague, out of the arcane, they would constantly snap me back because of the vortex. You had the four little champs vortexing me, and you had the rare vortexing me. And it was really challenging. But since there wasn't Waller, since I was still able to move most of the time, it was more fun than frustrating. And it's when you just have no control that when it really gets frustrating. If you've got at least some maneuverability, it's okay.
I agree. I mean, I think that's one of the things I have a hard time with hardcore is just I'm really trying to think about what's skill you know, do I have to have just for those insane champion packs, that, you know, just for that combination. That's the problem I have. Just and I'm fairly new to hardcore, so Frag can definitely talk about this much better than I can, but I'm just having a really hard time as I'm getting my level 50, just really kind of trying to prepare to give up my defensive skills, just because I'm afraid of that champion pack that's going to obliterate me. On softcore, though, I really wasn't too afraid of anything, especially once I got my better gear. Once I got my health up to 70k, then, even Act 3 stuff wasn't that hard. And that's kind of what made me go on to hardcore, actually, was just the fact that it seems doable. And I agree what you said before, Chess, that the game is so much more fun, even Act 2, 3. You know, you're just not getting one-shotted even by white mobs now. And I had decent gear before. So, you know, once I saw these item drops and kind of the balance of it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try hardcore. But kind of Frag, I'm kind of interested to hear your thoughts, I mean, in regards to the balance and whatnot of this new patch.
I haven't really experienced it because I still haven't made it out of Act 2 or out of Act 1 Inferno due to a pair of bugs. So I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that the gear that's dropping in Act 1 Inferno probably shouldn't be dropping there.
Yeah, and they do need to tune that down because it's 2% right now for that item level 63. And Act 2 is 4.1%. It just feels like that 2% really should be much lower.
Yeah. As for your defensive skills, I don't know out of our group of hardcore players, any of us that don't have a champ pack build. We all play champ pack builds. Basically, we treat the whole rest of the game as easy enough and have 2-minute cooldowns or multiple 2-minute cooldowns and bust those out for champ packs to make them manageable. Yeah, I can't speak for all of us that have had level 60 hardcore characters, but at least the people I played with, I'm pretty certain all of us have, you know, at a bare minimum, like a mass confused with a 3-second stun on it. If not Wrath of the Berserker, if not Serenity plus, teleporting, sudden assault, you have cooldowns that you pretty much just save for the stuff that otherwise would kill you.
So you pretty much don't even worry about Niflheim Valor stacks?
Oh, well, I mean, they're nice, but we don't, you know, if you've got to leave a game because you reached a pack that's just completely unkillable for you, you do so. I mean, it's survival is first, and then, you know, the gear will come eventually. But no, I think all of us enjoy our Niflheim Valor stacks. I don't see how what I said runs counter to that.
Well,
yeah, I'm just trying to create like a all-in-one build and having a hard time with it. So I kind of agree that, you know, it seems like for hardcore at least that you kind of need those separate builds.
Well, I don't think an all-in-one build can be done, honestly. I think that the way things are, there's always going to be those champ packs that you can't kill. And I think that this is one of those things that, and I'm going to come back to Frag here, because I think this is one of those things that hardcore people might intrinsically not be dealing with when it comes to those frustrations. Because if you're playing hardcore, one of two things happens. Either you get to one of those champ packs where you're like, oh, fuck this, I'm out, and you bail and quit out. Or, on the other hand, you lose your character and you have to start all over again. So the times where you actually see those champ packs that are just going to brutalize you in 2 seconds are very narrow. So, and during your times, a lot of softcore players, and I think where the frustration comes in is you start a game, you go like 5 feet, you get vortexed into an arcane sentry, die instantly, can't even move, and then you're seeing it almost constantly because if your character dies, you're not starting all over again. You're just at that same point over and over and over again. And it's just like, God damn it. Not another freaking Waller vortex, whatever, arcane, you know. I see these all the time and I've died a million times to them. So I think that there's something going on there between hardcore and softcore where there's more of a chance for that frustration to build up, maybe.
Well, here's the thing. I've run away from one pack ever. We just don't run across unkillable packs. My Barb never met one in Inferno that he couldn't handle. Well, sometimes he took some really creative use of basically the area we were fighting in. But I've never run across a pack I couldn't kill, basically.
How far, I don't know, how far did you and your group make it into Inferno?
We've made it to the first zone past Skeleton King.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, I mean,
I've
there is...
I've never seen a pack that we couldn't kill.
Well,
It took a long time. Sometimes I think we were flirting with the Enrage timer, but we don't believe in unkillable packs, for the most part. We don't run from them.
Well,
so
let me just say that right off the bat, the not believing in unkillable packs is partially because you haven't made it that far into Inferno.
That's very nice of you to say, but I would counter that with, I don't think you guys really know how to build a spec.
I'm
serious.
I don't think you can even begin to say anything about spec when you haven't been towards the end of Act 2 Inferno or Act 3 Inferno.
Okay, then how about this? All the defensive stats that's constantly posted, even by you guys, is not sufficient for us to even play in hell. You guys are running around with very poor stats constantly. So I don't know how you could say that you're having so much trouble on getting one-shotted when I've been teleported into arcane orbs and walked out of them in Inferno. So
there's a very big difference between arcane sentries in Act 1 Inferno and arcane sentries in Act 3 Inferno.
Right. I think the point here is that
everyone's been saying that all the way through the game.
Yeah, I think the point here is that Frag wouldn't go into that Act 2 situation until he was absolutely sure. I mean, he'd probably have much higher stats than, you know, we currently have. I mean, for one, because he's playing hardcore, but, you know, because it's really hard. You can't really argue the point because Frag wouldn't be in that situation. He would just be much more prepared for it, I think.
Well, I don't know how...
That's the way you play, is you play to overgear yourself.
There's a point in overgearing, there's a point in all of that, but there's also the point where you can't overgear past a certain point. There's a cap where gear gets to.
Yeah, level 63.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not going to say that I have the best gear in the world on my character. I'm not going to say that I have the best stat, especially on my monk. I know that there's limitations to my gear. I know that there's some things that I may be pushing myself past, but the issue becomes, and it's not even necessarily one of these things, it's once you start combining these modifications together on enemies, that there's a exponential increase on what it can do to your character. It's not just, oh, I've got a little bit of damage, can I overcome it? Because yeah, I can. I don't have an issue with the arcane sentries. It's once you layer that on top of Waller, which means that I can't move out of the arcane sentries.
Okay, then I'm going to ask you, why did you get hit with the wall to begin with?
Because I'm a monk and I actually have to stay in the same screen as the character.
Okay, and then so you have a defensive cooldown that you save for when you get walled, right?
Well, this goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my monk. And the monk doesn't have an ability that can shift through walls. And this is one of the problems I have with a lot of these monk's abilities, is that they call them teleports, but they're not teleports. What they are essentially is a player-used vortex that pulls you to the location you're trying to go to, and it has all of the same limitations as Vortex in that it gets blocked by terrain, anything that would block you. So I can't move across walls with a monk. So if I get a champion pack that drops down two or three walls on top of me and keeps spamming those over and over again in that fight, I'm relegated to maybe a 5-yard radius of where I can move and what I can do for the entirety of the fight. If they have arcane sentries, if they have desecrators, at that point, there's nothing you can do. I can pop my serenity, that's 4 seconds where I don't die, and then 4 seconds after it goes down, I'm dead.
Yeah, I kind of want to throw someone else into the fire. Trish, you play both hardcore and softcore. What do you think?
It's... Waller is the one that I dread the most ever seeing, because they really do hit those hard. Now, you can occasionally find little gaps, but as when you know the timing of the wall, if you know all the... Because it seems they all start on the same frickin' timer, so you're immediately surrounded with that little walls on four sides, and you can't get out. But if you pop your serenity at that time, if there's plague around, or if there's something really dangerous that you're walled in there with, you pop it, you wait out the walls, you move a little bit, you separate them out a little bit, and then they'll, or have a stun. Because right now she's running with, the dragon kick that stuns instead of lashing tail kick that stuns instead of
scorpion kick?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. she does that. If I stun even just one or two of them, that'll stagger the walls enough that I'm not fully enclosed, and I can find a gap in the wall and shoot through, even if Serenity's on cooldown. But Waller and Plagued, or Waller and Arcane, are some of the worst for me, because I'm so used to being able to move and kind of get out of those positions where I don't actually have to burn my cooldown, but I'm burning Serenity a lot anyway, because so many run across as either Plague and Molten, which is one of my worst, most frustrating combinations if it's on a running character, a running mob, a mob that generally tends to run from you. But
that does make Molten a lot more painful.
Yes. Yes, it does. But it's, the Waller still has that problem of they spam those walls an awful lot more than they spam Plague, than they spam the Arcane Sentries. The walls have a really short cooldown, it seems, and that causes some major problems.
Yeah,
what I would find is I would walk out the other end, because I've never seen one where they actually made a box. I've only seen...
Are you kidding me? Really?
No.
Oh my
Fred,
God.
Consider yourselves lucky, honey.
Oh my God. Really, they will drop them right on both sides of you, and you can't move.
I've never seen that. I've always been able to walk out all the time.
I can't believe you've never seen that.
I'm really not exaggerating here. I've never seen a situation where I couldn't walk around them, or I couldn't walk through them out the other side.
you're lucky, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, is because I'll get into these champ packs. They'll drop a wall on both sides of me, and I'm just boxed into this little area that I can't move.
Are you fighting them in small areas? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, a lot of times you sort of have to, especially if you're talking about some areas in Act 2, some areas of Act 3, like the keep depths.
Right, but we would usually pull them back into a bigger room.
Yeah, but they wall you before you can even pull them, Frag. If you're not out in the open, if you're in the narrow little hallways anyway... Because I've fought in some really narrow hallways. They will wall you before you can even pull them out. They've actually walled me before I heard my follower say, "Oh, look at that pack over there, or look at that monster." And it's just like, all of a sudden I'm walled, and that's the first thing I notice. That's the first clue that I've got them on my screen, because I have to run at a lower resolution. I don't have the nice big resolution, so I can see farther.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, because that doesn't sound like you're at a max res. Yeah.
Well, the other thing there is, I think if you have, and this is not a problem that I had with my wizard, because my wizard, I would play so far back and start shooting seeking missiles through doors. So it's like, if something's coming, I know it's coming. With my monk, I don't have that luxury. If I'm going through the halls of the keep's depths, I need to walk through a door to actually engage stuff, and then suddenly I'm locked down and I can't move. Or I will be, oh my God. This happened to me earlier today. I was in the keep depths. I was walking through that section where it has all the flames that shoot through the floor. And in Inferno, if you get hit by that flame, it doesn't matter what your stats are. It's a one shot. You're dead. So I'm walking through those flames. I come through the door on the other side of that. I see a pack of those skeleton archers that has Arcane Sentry, Vortex, and I don't even know what the other ones were. It was completely irrelevant. So I go running back out through the door, trying to figure out a way that I can get through all of these flame jets without insta-killing. I finally get through the first set, and then suddenly I see... I'm vortexed across all of them, right on top of a spot where he just dropped the Arcane Sentry. Instant kill. And they do that. They seem to do that a lot. They seem to combo you where it's just like, I'm going to drop down to an Arcane Sentry, and then I'm going to vortex you right onto that spot.
I've never had the situation where it's insta kill. I've always had at least a split second to cast my defensive skill, but the only problem I have is the Waller is definitely frustrating. It really sounds like Waller is just a problem here. I don't play the monk that much, so as a barb, I can just sleep out. But Yeah, I mean, Waller, it's definitely a tough ability. I mean, I've been completely surrounded before where I couldn't move when I did play my monk, but I kind of, you know, I'm not saying you guys don't do this, but as soon as I see one wall, I mean, I pretty much just get my hits in and try and go out. If I see two, I got to get the fuck out, because then that's when I can get completely surrounded.
Well, I wouldn't mind.
If they place them first one wall and then the second wall, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But for me, since I think part of it is that weird rubber banding, because I get it more than I was talking to Mav too, and he did. Yeah. He saw it like one or two nights, and then that was it. He hasn't seen it since. But for me, it's there constantly. That's the only time I noticed the arcane sentries basically just killing me immediately. It won't register on my end that it's been dropped for a while. It'll show it as dropped and active just immediately.
Yeah.
But I think that's more on my end than on theirs, but it's still really frustrating. And it's the same with Wall. If I see one, if I'm lucky, I can get out. But most of the time, it's I see two to three walls just immediately. No build up. No, okay, I've got a wall, or I'll get a few hits and run. It's, okay, now I'm walled in. Let me heal as much as I can. Let me just do what I can to stay alive until the walls come down, and then I can adapt to the situation and make sure I don't get completely walled in. But a lot of the times, it's instant walls all around for me. Well, on my end, anyway.
And I honestly don't have problems with the boss pack walls where it does this sort of U shape. That's fine with me because I can maneuver around that. The problem I have is with the champion pack wallers that do the just sort of line walls, the flat ones. And if you're in any place that's like a short corridor or anything, they will layer them like right on top of you and you can't move. I wouldn't have a problem if they just dropped them down and, like, boxed you in and I could move. That's fine. I also wouldn't have a problem if the monk's, quote-unquote, teleport abilities were actually teleports and I could use that as a defensive cooldown to sort of shift away. That's one of the reasons I was going through all of these abilities and trying to find them, going with Dashing Strike, going with a Sudden Assault on Seven-Sided Strike, is because I wanted to find an ability that when those situations did arise, I could shift to the other side and use that as a defensive cooldown. Mm-hmm. And
no, the monk doesn't have an ability that will actually put you on the other side of the wall. Dashing Strike's particularly disappointing in that regard.
Yeah.
And what's worse is sometimes it does work, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bug with Dashing Strike, because I don't think it's supposed to do that. But I was so excited when I started using Dashing Strike because it's exactly what I wanted it to work. And the first few times that I used it, it worked perfect, and then it never worked again. And I'm like, okay, I got to get rid of this skill. This is just getting me killed.
And I know what you – there's 2 points. One, I get what you mean. You're actually talking about when they place the walls on top of you, and I have seen that, like where you're actually in the wall.
I've seen that a lot. I've seen them on both sides of me as well.
Blizzard said that was like intended behavior. That was supposed to be how it's supposed to work. But what I'm wondering about is you guys keep talking about running away or like getting out or trying to get away from them. That's, I think, where are the disconnect between what I've been observing. I usually want to be close. I think all of my characters wanted to be close and didn't bother me that I was walled in usually. Because at least as long as I'm not like standing directly on top of the arcane sentry, you can just, you know, run around counterclockwise, or clockwise depending on which way it's rotating, and you're okay. Poison doesn't usually hit that hard. It never has.
No, poison is fine.
Molten can be, a problem. And obviously Desecrator you need to get the hell out of. It doesn't matter what difficulty you're on. But I don't feel the need to usually disengage. I guess that's probably a either me difference or a hardcore difference, is that you try to evaluate what's going to happen before you even enter the fight.
Well, I think that there's some issues. When I've been playing, and I'm specifically talking about Act 3 and some of Act 2, when I've been playing, when it comes to Plagued, when it comes to Desecrator, Molten, things like that, you need to sort of constantly be moving and shifting the fight. Not majorly, just sort of minorly. So if you combine that with Waller, and suddenly you don't have the ability anymore to shift that fight and sort of adjust it, things get bad really quick, especially if you're talking about a situation where Waller just completely boxes you in and you can't move at all. Then you sort of factor in stuff of the same nature where you have arcane sentries coming into that, and I don't know, things just, you no longer have the mobility that you need to actually fight. So it's this constant thing of, I'm spending all of the time I have just trying to find that one narrow opportunity where I can just get the hell out of here, and that's essentially the whole fight.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the walls are going to be tweaked a bit, because I have played Act 2 and 3 Inferno, and I agree, and it's kind of, it's a little over the top, and Act 3 is kind of tough at times, especially with some of the map layouts. But I do think it should be tweaked a little bit, definitely the Waller, so I agree there.
Well, I mean, I think that my main point here, and we've sort of just gotten all wrapped up into this, is that across the board, the damage changes that they did, I think, are really good, and I think they're at a perfect starting point to make some other adjustments on the actual enemy modifications. I think that there's some modifications that still need to be made on those. I think that there's some modifications that need to be made on the damage output that they can do. But once that's done, I think that across the board, the game is in a much better place than it is now, than it was before 1.03. And,
yeah, I mean,
I guess one of the major changes that came out was the changes to attack speed. I know a lot of people are just losing their mind about this. Is this something that has really affected anybody else?
Yep.
A lot?
I mean, totally changed my build. I had a very offensive-based build with my monk. I was expecting, of course. I mean, I'll agree. It was too good. It really, truly was, especially for a monk. I mean, it really just allowed this overall conviction build with Sweeping Wind, Blade Storm, and all the other DPS add-ons, combined one with everything. It's just, it really felt too good. And as much as I enjoyed it, it did feel too easy once I got decent gear. So after playing with it, honestly, it felt good. I felt like it was in a good spot. I went back, my DPS just took a huge hit, but, I just looked for a better weapon. Thanks to the patch, they also brought better item levels, so I just had to increase my weapon. But I did feel increased attack speed was too good before.
For me, it really didn't matter at all, except for one of my characters, but she's so low level, it doesn't matter anyway. Because since I'm a penny pincher when it comes to the auction house, I don't want to have to farm up like 1 million gold, 2 million, 5 million gold for just one upgrade. So I always tended to get the lower end upgrades that were still good upgrades for me, but it didn't have the modifiers that a lot of people wanted. I didn't have any attack speed on my monk in Inferno. I didn't have any attack speed on, I think, any of my hardcore characters. The only attack speed that my Demon Hunter had was from her quiver, so it didn't matter there. It was a complete non-issue for me, except for my baby wizard who had Mage Fists on, and her attack rate on Mage Fists dropped from like the 7% down to 2% or something like that. That was the only change that I noticed on it.
Yeah, I had attack speed on every single item, pretty much. You know, I tried to get max amounts, like 10 to 20 on each item, and it was insane.
Yeah, I was like Trish. I didn't have any attack speed on my monk or my wizard. The only thing that ever concerned me with attack speed was the base speed of the weapons I was using. And it essentially meant that the only weapons I would use on my monk would be fist weapons daggers or swords, which had a minimum attack speed of 1.4, which if I'm dual wielding, that puts me up to about 1.6, I think, somewhere 1.62. Around there.
Yep.
1.62. And with the skill I'm using, is it Fists of Thunder?
Yep, Fists of Thunder, you already get a base 20% like native.
Right.
So, yeah, you're already attacking it 2 attacks a second. Anyways.
Yeah. And the key thing there is that I wanted to have an attack speed so that I would, for enemies like Berserkers or the Fallen Overlords or Champions, I wanted to always have that third hit landing before they could queue up their big telegraph thing. So I would get that knockback, which is essentially more of a knock up of Fists of Thunder. And as long as I kept all of those guys in front of me, I could keep interrupting their big telegraphed moves that would just be insane damage if they actually went off. So that was the only consideration I ever had when it came to attack speed, is that I needed attack speed fast enough that when I saw these guys, I could keep them locked down and then bring them down and then move on to everybody else.
As a side note, I was doing the same type of a build. With the teleporting AoE on Fist of Thunder, and always kept my attack speed sufficient so that I could pop them up before they could respond. But the interesting part about that is that was the best build that's ever existed in Median. The mod for D2, yeah.
That's funny, because I've never actually played Medium.
There was a Pounce build for the Assassin. Okay. Where she could just teleport around the screen and keep everything stun locked, in hit recovery, just because she would hit them fast enough that they would, constantly be getting knocked up a little bit. And yeah, it was basically the best build that's ever existed in D2 or any of its variants. And that's what the monk had going for it, or still kind of does. I wasn't really having any trouble on mine.
Yeah. It's
very powerful.
Yeah. I've never focused on attack speed on any of my items, the actual increased attack speed's stat. And as long as I can get those attacks in, those 3 attacks, fast enough to just interrupt anything that needs to be interrupted, I'm good. So the attack speed change really hasn't had a big effect on my playstyle.
So, Chesspiece, I actually really want to go over 2 items. I don't know what our time is like, but we brought up slightly before, is that range timer. I really want to hear your guys' thoughts, because it's the one thing that makes me really worried about hardcore, and it could be just because I'm new to it, but it's just, I'm wondering, it seems like, you did have some trouble with it, just keeping that same build going, and it's the one thing that scares me. I don't know about you, Frag.
Hardcore is about balance. It always is. Basically, it's about, because here's the thing, Diablo and ARPGs like this are kind of unique. Fights can be made short enough, usually, that DPS becomes effective health. There's no fights that you are going to last 10 minutes no matter what you do. So the shorter you can make a fight, the more defense you have innately. So there is something to be said for just having a crap ton of damage with enough mitigation and or disruption to allow you to do that damage before they can respond. Health pools get big enough in Inferno that you do need some pretty serious numbers. I think Blizzard's given you that option with the changes to gearing now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anybody who's ignored damage in Hardcore Inferno that I've seen has died. It's not just an enrage timer thing. It's a standard mob type of a situation. You never want to be light on damage. We kind of have mental lower and upper bounds for both health pool levels and damage levels for when we're doing acts and difficulties. And if some of the ones outside those bounds, we'll bring it up with each other. Like today, one of the guys I play with, I said, "You got too much health." He goes, "Yeah, but I only gave up, so much damage and I still have this much damage left for it." I said, "No, I think you kind of need to swap that back around." The other day, one guy said to me, "I think your damage is just a little too lacking. I think you need to swap out, for a little bit more." And all I really had to do was pick up Blazing Wrath on Breath of Heaven for the extra 15%. And that was enough to kind of compensate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely about balance. Right. I think so there's different successive strategies, but.
So before you go fight the Butcher, let's say, have you done that yet on Inferno?
No.
No, right? Yeah.
No.
So before you go and fight him, essentially you would look up, how much health he has and, how long the enrage timer is, you know, your DPS.
Yep.
And, just kind of get similar thoughts. I mean, I'm sure people are putting that together. So, you know, honestly, with softcore, I've just kind of, you know, just learned from my desk. So with hardcore, you know, there's no way I'll be doing it. So it just seems like a lot more research before you actually go in there.
And also, not all of us are researchers. Myself and one other guy pretty much are the only people to bother to look stuff up. Mm-hmm. If in hardcore is also about the community as much as about bettering your play. And so if you don't feel comfortable with something, just ask for help. In hardcore, not asking for help is a sin. Asking for it is not something to be embarrassed about. You know, this is ultimately about helping each other out as much as it is about, you know, being a better player. So.
Right. No, I agree. And, that's almost like one thing I should have done. Cause when I was playing my hardcore tournament wizard, like I was about to send a message to a few people about that dungeon with the time event. And I was like, it doesn't kill you, right? And I didn't ask. I looked it up a little bit, but you can never rely on Battle.net forums. So I assumed it didn't, but still, it definitely pushed me to where I wouldn't have done. So I agree. Definitely ask before you move forward. And I guess the other thing that I really want to hear you guys' thoughts on is the repair costs. It's just...
Ah, yes.
I'll get this out of the way for the hardcore perspective. We don't care.
Yeah,
I can think of the entire hardcore community, and I'll just shut up after this. We don't give a shit. Whatever. You guys go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely unreal just how many people are complaining. It's like almost why I didn't want to associate myself with softcore people after reading the freaking forums on Battle.net. I mean... I just, it hurt. Everyone just saying how bad it was. It really is unreal. Some of the natural wear might be a little high, but
yeah.
To everyone complaining about the deaths, I think it just goes to show how much, like, corpse dragging they were doing.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Sorry.
Go ahead,
Trish. Noticed something, though, that, because I wanted to do a little testing and see just how much different it was. And if you repair after the first death, really not too bad. It was like 3,000 or maybe 4,000 for me. But if you didn't repair and you then had those subsequent deaths within a short time, it quickly ballooned up to like 40 grand for me at one point, I think.
Oh,
and I
wow.
only died like three times.
You're doing some tests, huh?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
It was, well, I ran into a pack and this was in Act 2 because I knew I was going to die eventually to Act 2 anyway because she's still not geared for it. But it was run in, die, okay, res and go up to town and repair, and it was no big deal. But if I did the chain deaths, it quickly ballooned. But if it's just in the normal running of things, really not that bad for the repair costs. I think they did a good balance on it.
Yeah, I think it's about where it should be. I'm nowhere near 40,000 for a repair bill. My gear right now can get the yellow cracked icon, and when I repair, it's more like 21,000 at max.
Did you guys just hear a voice? I'm pretty sure I just heard Roland from afar say, "You guys don't play Demon Hunters."
I definitely agree that a lot of the outrage is just that people have sort of internalized the way that you play the game at higher levels of Inferno is just corpse dragging your way through it. And you know what? I have absolutely no sympathy for that. I might complain about these issues of champion packs and Waller and all of this stuff that we've been talking about, but when it comes down to it, I'll like die once or twice and that's it for me. I'll call it quits. I'm not constantly running in there and trying to do stuff that my character really can't handle. I'm trying to push my character to its limits. And that's something that I think I bring in from sort of my my WoW rating mentality is that I'm always trying to hit that progression, but I also, when I'm looking to get gear, when I'm looking to farm, that's not something that I'm looking for. And I think a lot of people, especially when they're complaining about these repair costs, are trying to do both at the same time. They're trying to go as far as their character can go and still expect to be able to, you know, get 5 stacks and then just get gear. And that's sort of an absurd mentality to me. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I just think a lot of people were doing that, and now it's just apparent.
Yeah. And this is another thing that I was thinking about this week. And if we're going to talk about some other, the game types, like going into WoW, if you're in WoW rating, you have your progression fight. Say it's ICC, you're working on Putrescide. It might take you a couple weeks to actually get that fight down. Meanwhile, in WoW, the raids are constantly being reset, so you're forced to go through and play those lower fights, the fights that are essentially farm content. So you're in the process of pushing this progression, you're building up your gear, you're building up the gear of the people you're playing with. You don't have that in Diablo 2. So I think a lot of people have the mentality that, hey, I made it to Act 3. This is exactly where I should be, and this is where I should be doing everything. I guess the WoW equivalent would be if every couple days you had to fight all the way through Act 1 and 2 just to get back to Act 3 to do your progression again.
I guess I have a comment on that. You guys don't do that? Because we do.
No, I definitely do. I think that there's a mentality shift for a great amount of the population of Diablo where they want to be as far into the game as possible, and that's where you're supposed to farm. And this idea that, hey, I'm going to fight through Act 1 that is just farm content so that I could build up my gear, or I'm going to fight through Act 2, which is just farm content where I'll build up my gear, it's not something that even registers for a lot of people.
Well, it's like, think about this, though. When I played D1 and D2, I never did farming rounds, ever, on them. I just went through, and when I finished the game, whatever character level I was at, that's what I was. I didn't push anybody to 99. I didn't farm for specific items or anything like that. And I came to D3 hoping for the same thing. But I realized that Infernal really is like endgame WoW, which kind of aggravates me, because if I wanted to do that, I would still be playing WoW. I would just like to go through the game with the gear that I find and not have to replay everything on the same character. Now, on different characters, great, I'll replay it no matter what, but I don't like having to go back and feeling like I'm required to farm, which is why I kind of had to do a mental shift and treat Infernal right now like I did the beta of, well, this is your area, you know, just have fun with it. You know, there's no end game. You've already hit the end game with it. Just go ahead. So for me, I really have to consider Act 4 Hell. That's it. That's the end for me. And then the rest in Inferno is just screwing around. It's not actually part of the game. I have to think of it as a separate part that's not really there.
Right.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that is how we approached it. And I can say we on this one. I know for a fact that Kevin and Swirly and MJ and the rest of us all said this. Act 4 Hell was the end of the game. We didn't have any issues with that. Inferno was the bonus mode. That's how Blizzard proposed it to us. That's how we took it. Mm-hmm. Is that Inferno was not the next step. Inferno is for people that aren't stupid. Hell, Act 4, that's the end of the game. And we've always taken it as such, specifically because you can actually cap a character before or when you kill Diablo now, which, you know, previously on Diablo Hell, you still had many, many levels to go after you had killed the end boss. So to us, Act 4 Hell always has been the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I sort of view Inferno as that way where I can just really push my character to the limits. And this is the way I've always viewed Inferno. And this is the way that I've always sort of viewed the end game for me and on any of the characters that I played is that I want to get to a point with my character where any champion pack that I come across is a good fight, where it's like there's give, there's take. It, I don't care if a fight goes on for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes for a champion pack. What I want is to feel like, hey, this is a really big challenge, but, you know, I have all the tools. If I play correctly, I'll be able to overcome that. And I want to have as much of that as possible. So on the one hand, I really enjoy that that's the way that Blizzard is sort of pushing it with the Valor stacks and the idea that for your gearing up and any of that sort of stuff, it's going to be coming from champion packs. I still think that there's still some polishing, and it might be more of an issue of quality of life stuff. It might be more of an issue of them tampering down on class skills coming in 1.1 that'll really help balance it out. But
no, you really said it. I think balance is the key word. They themselves said they could not beat Inferno when they released the game. So I don't think Inferno was balanced right. I mean, it's kind of obvious, but you know, after playing, and I think down the line we will get there. And I think this game is going to be incredible, you know, after a few patches. I already think it is, but I think Inferno is going to be even more balanced. And from what they said, it sounds like they are going to really try to make that so champion packs do have that back and forth, but doable thing. So I think you said it really well in that eventually we'll get there. But right now, I don't think it's quite there.
Yeah, I think that there's just some little things that need to happen. I think they're going to be looking at it, especially because we've been talking about Waller, but I think we talked a little bit about Mortar as well, and there's that bug right now, which isn't new, but where Mortar will fire into walls and it'll still hit people point blank, whereas if you're going up against Mortar Waller, suddenly you're walled in and you're getting hit with mortars that are within the dead zone. So there's a lot of little stuff like that with the modifications on enemies that I think is going to need to be ironed out. But all in all, I mean, I think 1.03 really brought the game into a much better place. So
one of the biggest changes I don't think we've even discussed yet, at least for how we play, the changes to the blacksmith, I think we're overboard. But, I mean, you can just craft your heart's content at this point, even through normal play.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just craft and craft and craft and craft. No twinking at all. You can even craft your characters into decent gear pretty easily. It's I don't know if it's a great change, but it definitely makes you interested in using him. Before, we kind of pick and chose kind of like cherry-picked recipes. Now it's anytime there's an upgrade, it's just like, smack it 12 times and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I was grinding up all of the gems that I had sitting around, and I was just sitting there like, oh God, I wish there was a craft all button. Just like waiting for one to craft another one. Oh, I've got 40 more to go.
20K a gem down to 500 seemed a bit drastic to me.
Yeah.
That, specifically in hardcore, I can see why they lowered the price, because I don't know if you guys play hardcore like we do, but we're constantly upgrading and going through amethysts all the time. But on softcore, your gems never go away. So I don't think having them as a gold sink was necessarily like the worst thing in the world. So that one seems a little bit far, but the blacksmith changes are I guess, welcome.
Yeah. Just to sort of give you some sort of idea, after the changes to the reduction of costs on the gems, I sat there at the gem, the jewel crafter, and I spent, I think, 35,000 crafting up all my gems. So I was there for about an hour, I think, just watching TV, crafting my gems, having a good time. Alrighty then.
That's what it's all
about. Having a good time. We're having a good time here. I think that's going to be enough for today. We've been going on for a long time bitching about Waller, but we will see everybody again next week. Hope you had fun. For me, Willie Tanner, we've got Frag.
Evening.
We've got Monty.
Good night.
And Trish.
Good night.
Signing off. We'll see you again next week.